G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 24B.
So, we see that the cybernetic system would teach us not always to quarrel with error, but to see it as a blessing, that we take the errors as a possibility and as an opportunity to lift up our understanding and have a better insight into truth, and leads us into all truth. So a cybernetic system with its own laws, and these laws are no more laws of cause and effect, because involved in it is not only input process output, that is the law of cause and effect, but it has a fourth factor in it, namely the feedback, so that there is a closed loop and therefore no beginning and no ending, so that every effect, no matter if it's a good or a bad effect, is always an information value for a higher input. So that the cybernetic system is the law of evolution, of rising higher and higher. It is therefore that system which is self-renewing, has a self-renewing effect. The whole body which we have has an inbuilt self-renewing effect. You know that every cell is renewed every 7 years. We know that if there is a kind of a sign of uneasiness in the body, that the body begins at once to react against it. It has the possibility that if the temperature of the blood sinks, that it can regulate it. If the temperature goes higher and we get the fever, it can regulate it and bring it back to normality, so that there is a self-healing system built into it. And so we could see that what lies before us is really to have a change of consciousness away from that sense of the law of cause and effect to the cybernetic laws of self-regulation. This is perhaps in a short survey saying what cybernetics per se is. Now, we are naturally interested not in the technical application of cybernetics, we are interested in the divine cybernetics. Now, you can say, well, is there a divine cybernetics? And we naturally could say, yes, first of all, there was a divine cybernetics, or the application of cybernetics in the human, in the technical field, would not have been possible, because people, the inventor can only really discover something that has always been there. The inventor is not the creator. The inventor cannot create something new that has not existed. He's only discovering and revealing what has been there since ever. So divine cybernetics existed since ever, but it has not been discovered, and it has not been able to be translated to the human level as cybernetics has done about 40 years ago. So I want to see how this idea of cybernetics applies to divine cybernetics, and the chart that we have is actually a chart that incorporates within itself the cybernetic system and the cybernetic laws. And so we want to consider quickly what that implies. Actually, why did we come to the idea that the textbook or that the chart, which we had already for about 20 years, would actually also be a symbol, a model for the cybernetic system? As I told you, it was always that way back in my students' years, when I was investigating the textbook and I was asking myself constantly, now, what does Mrs. Eddy say what science is? What kind of a science has she really discovered, and I was looking up all the references on science and could see that you said, well, it's a science of mind, it's a science of life, it's a science of spirit, it's a science of true medicine and so on, the science of psychology, etc. I came across another science, and she's where she says that the textbook really teaches the science which governs the changes. And this was something that I couldn't quite understand, that she would show us that there is a science about changes. And this is naturally something very interesting, because we know that the universe constantly changes, that there should be constantly newness of life, that not a stagnation. And if there is always something new that is being impelled by life, truth, and love, then that brings about constant changes. Well, whenever there is a change, there is usually an imbalance, that things get out of balance, that there is a crisis, that there is a chemicalization taking place, and then the system gets out of balance. But if there is a science that governs the changes, then change should not bring forth imbalance. Can you say imbalance? Is that an English term? So cybernetics is that information that controls the changes, that controls the changes so that it leads from balance to balance, from equilibrium to equilibrium, so that the balance, the equilibrium, the harmony is not touched by the changes. So that everything that comes up as something new really finds at once its right place in a new system, in a new balanced way. So we could say that divine cybernetics is that which takes care of all the interference factors in our life and takes them and sees that when a change takes place, that it can take place in such a way that the homeostasis, that's a term that they use in cybernetics, that the homeostasis is kept intact. Homeostasis means what? From the Greek, homeo means the same, stasis, the state of things, that it is always in the same state of things, which is balance, which is equilibrium. Even more so, they see that if there is a constant flow going on, and actually being is a constant flow of changes, not just here and there a change when there is an interference factor, but if being is constantly flowing, like the Greek says, panta rei, all is in flowing, rei means has the meaning of flowing, we can see, therefore, that even divine cybernetics should take care of that constant changing, of that constant flow, which then is called homeorese, rese, flowing, that there is an equilibrium in spite of constant changing. So that we can see that we could really make progress and have infinite progression, which would mean constant change, without having any kind of discord or disharmony, but being able to have an evolution going on, a life evolution going on, a life mission going on, without a lot of trouble in it, but always in a harmonious flow. That harmonious flow would always be an upward flow, an upward equilibrium, so that one equilibrium will be overformed by a higher equilibrium, which again is called evolution. Evolution in the field of matter, in the field of organic matter, in the field of the spiritual. So this is the purpose of divine cybernetics. And we can ask ourselves now, What are the laws ruling that divine cybernetics, so that we would be able to entertain the consciousness, the spiritual consciousness of the chart with those three great categories. Those three great categories, as we have seen, constantly intertwining in another way by restructuring the system constantly, which means constant change in relationship. Change means usually to get out of balance, so we must have a law that keeps these changes in balance. And that is done through the model of being, through those three great categories of being. And so we must see how do these three great categories of being constitute the meaning of cybernetics, so that all the elements that really make up cybernetics are also represented in the divine cybernetics through the three main categories of being. Let's take these three great categories of being and let's see, can we see that they have a cybernetic nature? So let's first take the first category of the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and ask ourselves, have they somehow within themselves a cybernetic nature? Can they therefore be used for divine cybernetics? And so we quickly run through those seven synonymous terms which we know and see the cybernetic characteristic of them. Let's take mind, and we know mind as intelligence, as information. So we have with the divine mind, we have already the universal information value, which is fundamental to a cybernetic system. It is an information system, and divine mind is the highest sense of information and of intelligence. So it is really that steering and guiding intelligence which is necessary for the steermanship. The cybernator was the steerman, steering the boat. So we have here mind that steers, that guides through the intelligence of the divine information. Typical characteristic of divine cybernetics. Or we take spirit, and we know spirit as that synonymous term which is characterized through order, through unfoldment, through evolution. And therefore we see, yes, the cybernetic system actually is a system that should bring through information more order into the system, should bring out more structure, more order, more diversification, more classification. All that is the nature of spirit. Spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes all so that we have a sense that spirit has also within itself the cybernetic characteristic. It is spirit also, we know, as evolution, as unfoldment, development, evolution, and therefore is the fact about entropy, but the fact that corrects entropy, which is the very opposite of evolution, namely of regression or retrogression. Let's take the nature of God as soul and see, is soul an important factor in cybernetics? What is soul? We know soul, for instance, as balance, the balance of soul. We know it as stability of soul, as the security of soul. You can at once hear the balance of soul, the homeostasis of soul. The cybernetic system must always bring out the balance of the system, so that the system does not get out of balance and goes wild and then it explodes. So if we see that, then we have another factor. Let's take principle. Is principle also a factor in cybernetics? Oh, yes, very much so, because we know principle is expressing the idea of system. It is expressing the idea of operation, of dynamics. So we can see a cybernetic system is a self-organizing system, and that in divine cybernetics can only be built on that divine principle which organizes itself, which has a self-control within itself, and so it certainly shows forth that it is a cybernetic principle. If we take life, and life we know as that which, as in the fifth day of creation, is constantly leading everything higher and higher, everything away from the earthbound to the heavenly tendency, the fowls that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. It is therefore, life is therefore that which is bringing about the laying down of the mortal and the material sense of things. Life is that which flies above, tries to fly above the earthbound, the material, and leads more and more into the spiritual. Well, the cybernetic system is exactly that, that the effect of the feedback control system should be that the input is always higher and higher, that through more order and more structure, matter loses its unstructured sense, it loses its material connotation, and we know that matter is actually nothing else but disorder. And so that information, by bringing order, dematerializes matter. Information is neither matter nor energy. And that definition shows that a cybernetic system has the tendency of spiritualizing the universe, of showing that really the most important factor is information and not matter and energy, and therefore rises us above the earthbound into the spiritual sphere. Let's take truth as a synonymous term for God and see in which way does really truth apply to divine cybernetics. Well, it shows that truth is always that which gives structure, which gives gestalt, which gives form to everything. Well, that is what happens in the cybernetic system, that the cybernetic system, through its evolving and exalting influence of going higher and higher, that higher and higher is not a spatial sense of high and low, but it is a higher complexity, therefore higher formations, higher forms, higher gestalt, let's say higher complexity of whatever is under consideration. So that truth is really regulating the true gestalt of everything by showing that we can see in something always higher and higher complexities. And so in this way it brings out the true gestalt, the true form of something. What about love? What about love? Well, love naturally is a very important factor in divine cybernetics, because love says all is one. It is a goal, because it's the highest, everything drives towards that high goal of oneness. And so the cybernetic system, and that you can read practically in every book on cybernetics, that it is driving towards a high goal, and that goal is the unity of the universe, that there is only one universe that runs on a very complex cybernetic system, or of a compound of many cybernetic systems that are running together in one compound high cybernetic system. So that we can see that in being, in divine being, there is a cybernetic law at work which says, I don't rest until I can spiral up evolution constantly higher and higher and higher. I spiral up every level of cybernetic application, be it in the material. See, even Protein says even in the material there is evolution. Matter is not something static. There is evolution in it. There is a cybernetic law at work in it. It is applied to the organic field. It's applied to the psychological field. It's applied to the biological field. And it's applied to the spiritual field. So that all dimensions of existence are under the one and the same law, the cybernetic law, that on every level of human experience has just one drive to take everything on a higher level, to take it away from a restricted level, which is a material level, and driving that material level out of itself into a spiritual level of being. So that spiritualization of being, of which Mrs. Eddy constantly speaks, is not just a nice ideal that we have. It's not something, not just a religious ideal that is underlying the most of the higher religion. That spiritualization is a scientific fact in being, and not just a human ideal. It's a scientific fact in being that spirit itself has a cybernetic system, and therefore by translating itself to every plane of thought right down to the mistakes, it is mistake-friendly. It goes right down to the material level, to the psychological level, to the mental level, to the biological level, and brings it out of itself. It translates, therefore, matter out of itself into spirit. But that is not something that is just a nice religious belief. That's a scientific fact in being. And I think that's the point that we like to bring out with it. All right. Let's go to the next main category of being and see if the cybernetic idea is built into that second category. Let's take the fourfold operation, the Holy City, Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And there I think we see very easily, actually, that these four sides of the Holy City are the four factors of a cybernetic system, namely that the Word is the input, the Christ the process or the black box, that Christianity is the output, and Science is the feedback. Actually, when one reads the textbook and the explanation that Mrs. Eddy gives of the four sides of the Holy City, one can see that very easily, that the first side input is the definition of God. She says the Word of God, which is the definition of God. It says, all right, first we must have a good input. We must understand what is the nature of God. That's our input. Sometimes that understanding is very feeble. Sometimes it's a bit stronger, but sometimes it's a bit more, a bit deeper. So we take as the Word, as the input. Then we know that the Christ is the process. It's the manifestation of it, of that input. It processes the input. That input as the Christ and manifests it in infinite ways by translating the one principle to infinite idea. It is also called, the process is also called the black box, and very often the students have asked me and said, why can this be a black box? The Christ is something that we can understand. And I say, yes, but that's not the point. Yes, we can understand the Christ translation, and we should understand the Christ translation. That should be very transparent and not in the dark, but we do not know what the Christ is going to bring out. That's the black box. We don't know, and that's what we have been considering, that we should not leave out the Christ, but leave it to the Christ, to do that what the Christ wants to do with us and not what we tell him to do. So we don't know what is going to be manifested. That's why it is the black box. The output is always Christianity. As she explains, that the third side of the holy city is the outcome of the Christ idea. Therefore, it's the output. And then we have fourth, the fourth side of the holy city, science. Science which interprets really the word, the Christ and Christianity. We need science to ask ourselves, now does the input correspond with the output? Does it not correspond? All right, we have to ask and investigate and analyze why it does not correspond. So we need science really as a feedback factor that investigates and analyzes the whole system and sees where there is a mistake in it, so that the mistake can be excluded, that can be corrected. So it's science corrects mistake, and so through the feedback control we have a correcting ability. So in this way you can see right away that those four factors or pillars that constitute the fourfold process of a cybernetic system are actually in the divine, that holy city, Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and so they fulfill the demands of a cybernetic system.